So sometimes in South Africa we have these Prabhupada nights, and I have a feeling that tonight is one of those nights. because in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met a sannyasi named Paramananda Puri, who was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And then, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Paramananda Puri, he said, "Today, I'm seeing Madhavendra Puri in front of me in the form of his disciple, Paramananda Puri." So, because we are in the house of Madhavi Prabhu, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, we're seeing Srila Prabhupada's presence, or perceiving Srila Prabhupada's presence. We don't have the level of vision that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had, who could see in great depth, but in our own shallow way, it is a fact that a disciple of Srila Prabhupada carries a little bit of Prabhupada with him. And although we all have our affection and affinity, our dedication to Srila Prabhupada, and in a way, all of us have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada, but still... there is some special grace that the disciples of Srila Prabhupada received. Recently we were in Vrindavan and Brahmananda Prabhu was speaking, and of course Brahmananda is like not only one of the early devotees that joined, that handful that joined Prabhupada first, but Brahmananda was also really Prabhupada's first leader. Prabhupada was doing things through Brahmananda, trying to buy a building through Brahmananda. Somehow or other, Brahmananda got Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita manuscript printed by Macmillan, which is a very reputable publishing house, and that's not a small thing. You know, you go in, like here was the Swami, and the Swami had a manuscript, and the Swami, which was scribbled on all kinds of paper, right? And Hayagriva had typed it out, and this and that, and there it was, and others had typed, and finally, there was a manuscript, and then, go and find a printer. Where do you find one? But Krishna was arranging everything. And Prabhupada had that faith. So Brahmananda, he went to Macmillan, and when he approached one of the editors of Macmillan, he said, "Oh, a Bhagavad Gita, I was just looking for one. I just needed a Bhagavad Gita." Right? Oh, great, yes, we'll take it. So, somehow or other, the Super Soul had arranged everything. One cannot say that everything was easy for Srila Prabhupada, and that the Yamuna just opened up, like it did for Vasudev, who was carrying Krishna. It was, for Prabhupada, oftentimes a great battle and a great struggle. There was, after all, this Bhagavad Gita was not the first Bhagavad Gita. Already, Prabhupada had translated the whole Gita before, but somehow or other, that was when he was still in the Grihastha ashram, and then one day the whole manuscript was stolen, all the work, and just stolen, and then he just started again. So it's not that there was no adversity in Prabhupada's life, that it was all just
automatically easy for him. Sometimes I feel that actually it's easy for us because he made it easy for us. Although if we think of ourselves, we oftentimes think that, ho-ho, spiritual life is so difficult, it is such a struggle, it is so hard. But if you think about it, it is quite easy. You know, like we travel to the other side of the world and there it is. The temple is there and everything is there. Right? As simple as that. And wherever you go, something is there. We have here our traveling Harinam party and, you know, they are all over the internet, and sometimes you see them throwing sombreros in the air in Mexico, and next moment it's down under in Australia, and now they're in Africa, and yeah, the Harinam party. But it's the same everywhere, because Prabhupada made all these temples. Prabhupada had it more, although he was a pure devotee, and although Krishna was undoubtedly supporting him and helping him. And undoubtedly, without the help of Krishna, he could have never succeeded. But nonetheless, although Prabhupada was helped by Krishna, he had it more difficult than all of us together. Because Prabhupada went alone, all alone, in old age to the Western world, trying to bring a message which was diametrically opposed to everything everybody was doing. And he was praying on the Jaladutta. He was praying in that famous song that he wrote, Markini Bhagavad Dharma, where he prays that, my dear Lord Krishna, I don't know how to convince these people, but you have brought me here, so somehow or other, you must have a purpose. I don't know what I can say to make them take to Krishna consciousness. The only thing I can do is repeat your words. Srinvata svakata Krishna punya sravana kirtana ridhyantastu yabhadrani vidunati suritsatam. And Prabhupada begins to recite a portion of the second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Such faith that, yes, if I simply recite Srimad Bhagavatam, everything will work out. No problem. Then it will be done, just through these words. So this is very nice. We have so many devotees who have shared their memories with us. Brahmananda was saying that, you know, he said that when he was Prabhupada's secretary, sometimes he would become ill. Right? And then Prabhupada would go, why are you ill? It's like as if he could do anything about it, you know, as if it was his fault. Right? Why are you ill? What? Why? As if it was something very dirty and like, you know, like how can you do this? You know? And as if he could do anything about it. So Prabhupada was just shaking his head. You're always getting ill. Right? And then he just rubbed his head, and next moment, Brahmananda was cured. So Brahmananda said, yes, Prabhupada cured me. And said he didn't do it once, he did it on several occasions. Brahmananda also explains how his back had gone out, and it was really bad. So he was sitting on a chair in the temple, and he couldn't move. And everyone had gone out. All the devotees were out preaching, because that's how it used to be. But because he couldn't move, he couldn't go out. So he's sitting on the chair, and the telephone started ringing. And he felt, no, I can't answer the phone. I can't answer the phone because my back, you know, I can't get up from the chair. But then he felt this strong urge that he had to answer the telephone. So somehow or other, he got sort of straight, managed to get to the phone, took the phone, And then someone said that Prabhupada wanted him, Brahmananda, to come immediately to become his secretary. And Brahmananda said, oh, well, yes, of course, I'm coming. And he put down the phone, and all the pain in his back had gone. You know, he said he did it again. Yeah. So, in this way, Brahmananda was remembering Srila Prabhupada. In Kartik, in Vrindavan, there was he gave a talk, and in that talk, a point came up. A question was asked to him, and the question was that some of the devotees who joined in the very, very early days, they feel that later ISKCON changed, and that at that time, yeah, it was not exactly the same anymore as the good old days. So what do you feel about that, you know? Do you feel that things have changed since the good old days? And Brahmananda said, he said, look, you know, when you are a child, right, your father is your father. Later, when you are an adult, he's still your father. He said, what has changed? Right? Nothing has changed. Right? The same relationship, still there. So then, the devotee who was asking the question was from South America, and maybe his English was a little odd. So he said that, I can understand that you see Prabhupada as God. Now, there was a time in 1970 when Brahmananda and a few other leaders actually for a moment thought that Prabhupada was Krishna, and they preached it, you know. But then Prabhupada chastised them, corrected it, and gave them sannyas and sent them out. Anyway, I think Brahmananda might have already had it by then. He already had it, but the others got sannyas. So when, as soon as this devotee said, oh, I can see you're seeing Prabhupada's God, Brahmananda said, oh no. Said, I once made that mistake. Oh no. Prabhupada is not God. Prabhupada is as good as God. He's as good as God. Said, no, I made that mistake, you know. No, he's not God, he's as good as God. He said, but you know, these days I'm thinking that Prabhupada is better than God. He said, because he came to the Lower East Side and saved me. And then he started crying. So, what shall we say? Prabhupada just captured his heart, so much so, because he came to save him. And we may also appreciate how Prabhupada is saving us. He's saving us it's not that other Vaishnavas have no meaning. They do. If we're not disciples of Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual masters are also the instrument of Krishna. Because Krishna, he has designed this system, the parampara system. It begins with Krishna. And Krishna uses every spiritual master as his vaya media. Krishna comes through the spiritual master. He gives instruction to the spiritual master, and he is receiving service through the spiritual master. So in a sense, the spiritual master is an instrument that is used by Krishna. So that is also going on now, very much so. Still, Srila Prabhupada is an extraordinary personality. Once, in the earlier days of Krishna consciousness, when Srila Prabhupada's health was not good, he decided to go back to India for some time. The devotees had tried to keep him in San Francisco, but it was too cold, and he needed heat. Right? He needed that real Indian heat for his health, since he was from India. Prabhupada used to say, if your health is not good, then go to the country of your birth, and there you will recover. Makes sense. And after all, the body was made there. So he went to India, and as he was about to go to India, one devotee suggested that maybe in your absence, well, who will look after us? Maybe one of your godbrothers can come. And Prabhupada sort of became emotional and said at that point, he said, my spiritual master was not an ordinary spiritual master. So that we can say about Srila Prabhupada also. He was, of course, no spiritual master is ordinary, but Prabhupada was no ordinary spiritual master. Much more than a spiritual master. Prabhupada did something extraordinary. I remember how in Vrindavan, in early 80s, Jagadish Prabhu gave a class. And in that class, he spoke about the verse Tat Vak Visargo Janataka Viplavo Yasmin Pratislokam Abhadavati Api Namani Anantasi Asun Kitanyat Srimante Grinante Gayanti Sadhava, which is a famous verse from the fifth chapter of the first canto. And it is the verse that although transcendental literatures may be irregularly composed, these transcendental literatures can bring about a revolution in the misdirected life of a misguided civilization. And it uses the word viplavo. It can bring about a revolution. Such literature, such transcendental literatures, even if irregularly composed, are heard and sung by men who are thoroughly honest. So Srila Prabhupada exactly did that. This verse is referring to the words of the Bhagavatam. And it is Srila Prabhupada who brought these transcendental words to the Western world and made a revolution. Made a revolution. So Jagadish was saying, this verse is predicting Prabhupada. Now we've heard that, you know. And some know about that. But then it was like a thunderbolt, you know. We were shocked. How could he say it? But it made sense. And he said, and therefore we can understand that Srila Prabhupada is more than a pure devotee, but that he is a specially empowered devotee whose mission is predicted in Srimad Bhagavatam and who is therefore a Shakti Avesh avatar, or a specially empowered personality through whom Krishna works more than through an ordinary spiritual master. Yes, Srila Prabhupada was not an ordinary spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada is actually Krishna's instrument to take this transcendental knowledge of pure devotional service from east to west. And Prabhupada said that it's gone too far. It's gone too far. They can't stop it anymore. He said, just like a disease. At one point when the infection has gone too far, they can't stop it anymore. It's gone too far. They cannot stop it anymore. Krishna consciousness is here to stay. Therefore, Prabhupada did it. It will not be done again. It's been done. Krishna consciousness has been brought from east to west. And it happens only once. Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma, then followed by Lord Chaitanya, who appears once in a day of Brahma. Srila Prabhupada appeared shortly after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and did what is done only once in a day of Brahma. He took Krishna consciousness from east to west. Just see what a unique and great personality Srila Prabhupada really is. And yet, so intimate with and so personal with Brahmananda, rubbing his head, curing his disease, just being so close, so intimate. Prabhupada lived with these boys on the Lower East Side. And it was low in all respects, yes, low life. But Prabhupada was there because they were looking, they were seeking. And Prabhupada, he was the first one to come down, the first one to really cross the ocean, the first one not to just preach from a platform, but to be with the people. And in this way, he captured everyone. He captured everyone and made them devotees. What can we say? Oh, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, Madhavi Prabhu, would you kindly...
Write out some particular remembrances of Prabhupada. I didn't have much personal association. I only had about 15 seconds association with Prabhupada when he gave me my beads. And he said, your name is Madhavi, and offered my obeisances. And then he said, Madhavi means one who has a good brain. And all the boys said, Hari Bol. There were 77 initiates that day. And
where was it?
In Vrindavan, in the temple opening.
In Vrindavan.
And there was in the temple room in the Krishna Balaram temple. And so there were devotees all around. If you know that the inside
courtyard
on the bottom there. And I seem to always remember that Yashodhanandan Maharaj was performing the fire sacrifice. And because there were so many devotees in the initiation, and everyone was throwing grains, they were throwing in front of him, and they were throwing behind him. So he was covered. He was covered with sesame seeds. If you see the picture, it's like it's all stuck to the back of his back. And I was thinking that, of course, one would be wanting to be the big priest performing the puja, but also there's another side to that you also have to perform in austerity. It's not all just you sit there and everybody thinks you're so nice. You're swahaing and everything. But, you know, he wasn't doing it for his own aggrandizement, but he was doing it as a service to Srila Prabhupada. And also I remember we brought our beads to Srila Prabhupada, well, we brought our beads to our GBC. And again, there was 70-odd devotees, and Prabhupada took the beads, that's what Rupa Nuga told me, and he gave beads to all the GBCs to chant. So, obviously, Prabhupada understood that these personalities that he had selected for responsibility in his movement, they were sufficiently qualified in order to chant on those beads on his behalf. And that was also an extraordinary thing, especially nowadays in the mood of Ritvik and all this other, that if someone is really connected to Srila Prabhupada, then they have Srila Prabhupada's potency. And of course, that is no little thing. And unfortunately, we've seen so many examples of those who have misused that. But the fact remains that those who are dedicated to Srila Prabhupada, that they carry his shakti, his power. And as long as they understand that, just like when we offer the bhoga to the spiritual master, we think what he's offering it to his spiritual master, who's offering it to his spiritual master, up to the Panchatapa, to Lord Chaitanya, to Radha and Krishna. So whatever we're offering, he's accepting on their behalf. So whatever service devotees do in service to Srila Prabhupada, whether, I seem to come back to the same point, that Srila Prabhupada is as available to every one of you, everyone, as much as he was available then. There is the difference between the Vapu and the Vani, but Srila Prabhupada himself said that the real thing is the Vani. So, not to disagree with Maharaj.
No.
But
happy to hear.
But it's open. It's not restrictive in any way. And myself, I see many of the devotees here are more successful disciples of Srila Prabhupada than I could ever hope to be. And they never had any personal association. But that's not a prerequisite. There were those personalities who had direct contact with Srila Prabhupada. Those were very exceedingly fortunate souls. I think, Maharaj, you were saying the other day in the temple that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and others who have gone from this world are most probably if not absolutely certainly, with Srila Prabhupada in another place performing that same pastime of bringing Krishna consciousness from the east to the west. A lot of times when I lead kirtan and I start with Prabhupada's pranam mantra, when I get to the second verse, I sing it twice, even though I only sang the first verse once, because obeisances to you, O servant of Saraswati Goswami. You are kindly preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya Dev and delivering the Western countries, which are filled with impersonalism and voidism. And that really, no one else, and Mars was also saying that when devotees, Prabhupada was leaving for India, and they asked Prabhupada, can't you just send someone else? And Prabhupada said that if he changes one word, one syllable, from what I've said, then everything will be confused. And it was almost an offense, and that was a question I'd like to ask Maharaj, is that if we commit an offense and we don't even know it's an offense, it's one thing to be offensive. And I do remember Bhakti Tirthamar saying on numerous occasions that at any given time, we don't know how many offenses we are performing. But it was actually, it was an offense. But Prabhupada didn't, he recognized it, but he didn't accept it, if you know what I mean. And he spoke, as you said, that my spiritual master was not an ordinary person. He saved me. So the name of that book, that volume, was called Only He Could Lead Them. And I think from that experience, devotees have realized that Srila Prabhupada was that special personality who could lead all the different types of personalities that were congregated in the Western world. And it was a sorry group in many ways. Gangsters, practically. Crooks, cheats. There were some nice personalities as well. Prabhupada was able to rescue them and engage them. It wasn't a matter of just picking them up and putting them on a shelf. Prabhupada wanted to employ these personalities to do some solid work for Krishna consciousness. So he was expert. As Mars was saying about Brahmananda, he was being interviewed by, I think it was an Indian reporter, and he was saying, you're talking about vegetarianism and people become very sickly and like that. And Prabhupada said, this is my disciple, Brahmananda. He's a vegetarian and he can kill you with one hand. So Prabhupada was able to utilize when they opened the temple in Vrindavan, most of the finances were collected by Guru Kripa Maharaj and Yashodhananda Maharaj's party. And Prabhupada wanted that temple built. He wanted it built. Some of the methods may have been a bit questionable, but Prabhupada wanted the temple built. And those personalities and a lot of Agatha Sukriti from the people of Japan and other places east, they contributed toward the building of that temple. If you go there now, you'll see the sign. How many lakhs of rupees?
Forgot. 21?
21, 24.
Something. Which was lakhs. A lot of money then.
A lot of lakhs. Lakhs. Yeah. What do they call it? A lakhpati or kropati or whatever.
In those days, it must be.
It's a lot of money.
The lakhs now.
But Prabhupada wanted it done, and he took whatever personalities would take his mood and get it done. And I remember during the first kirtan, Guru Kripa Maharaj, the Sanya Arti, and they had a big party. There was quite a few also heavyweights. And as a side point, I don't think I would have remained in Krishna consciousness if I had stayed in America, because there were a lot of heavyweights, and sometimes their weight wasn't pointed outwards. It was pointed at the people close by. So, and he was leading the kirtans, and one of the boys that was practically one of his biggest collectors was, and he stopped the kirtan, and he looked at this devotee. And the devotee got the idea right away. don't get too enthusiastic out of time. So things were like that to a degree. But because they had worked so hard, especially the Maharajas, to bring that money to Prabhupada, then they had that respect from everyone. And Prabhupada wanted a temple in South Africa. And I don't think any of the devotees here know Tulsi Das. But he was the regional secretary at the time. There were 35 devotees in the whole country. And He decided, I think Japitaka Maharaj also said, that whoever builds a temple in Mayapur, that Srila Bhaktivinoda will come and take them back to Godhead. So he felt that if he can build this temple in South Africa, that Srila Prabhupada will take him home. And that was a big endeavor. There was only maybe as many devotees as are here to collect, to be Krishna conscious and spread Krishna conscious and collect all the money for building the temple. But everyone got together on that one. Originally, some people didn't agree with it. There was a big kind of schism between devotees who wanted to preach and devotees who wanted to build the temple. and we had a change of GBC. And Bhagavan Prabhu was coming to be the GBC. And we were thinking, those of us who were distributing books were thinking, well, now we're going to start distributing books. Because he was the biggest, his zone was the biggest book distribution zone in the world. So what happened? He came and he put everybody on collecting for the temple. Because he understood that's not going to happen otherwise. And now you go to Durban and that temple, it's such a weapon practically. It just has to be there. And so much is happening. It was Prabhupada's desire. And one can see just that there's so much potency that comes from it. So Prabhupada, he had unlimited, infinite vision of how the world could be changed. We're at the university. When we started a few years ago, if there were any African students that came to our stall, they would ask, where's the meat? Where's the meat? And if you told them it was vegetarian, it was like you slapped them in the face almost. They would go away. But practically now, most of our customers are Africans. So things are changing. It's somewhat imperceptible at times, but by the devotees' efforts to follow Srila Prabhupada, then things are improving, things are changing. It's imperceptible. But it's happening.
Maybe Shamanan.
I was thinking about what you were saying about Srila Prabhupada being a very special personality.
Can you speak louder?
Yeah, I was thinking about what you were saying, what Maharaj is saying about Srila Prabhupada being a very special personality. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread Krishna consciousness all over the continent of India at that time. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being Krishna himself, could have spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But rather, he left that glory to Srila Prabhupada, actually. He himself, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, we find that prediction, actually, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said that my holy name will be chanted in every town and village. And actually many of the followers of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati thought that was some kind of poetic device, or, you know, maybe Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur had gotten a little bit carried away. You know, it didn't really mean, actually, that it would be spread literally in every town and village of the world. But actually it does mean that, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati understood that, and Srila Prabhupada, actually, being such a glorious disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he did understand that, actually. And we see that runs through Prabhupada's life, actually. The first time Srila Prabhupada met his spiritual master, he got that instruction. And of course, sometimes we think that was only just for Srila Prabhupada, that nobody else. But actually, anyone who would listen, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was constantly telling that to all the people around him, actually. Don't preach in the West. You know, even one time he sent a few of his sannyasis, and they came. I think they made one disciple, and they came back and they told Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, it's not possible, actually. It's not possible. It can't be done, actually. But Srila Prabhupada, as Maharaj was saying, is such an incredible personality that not only he had the faith that it could be done and it would be done, but he actually did it. And perhaps another way to look at Srila Prabhupada's position is that if we look back through the Sampradaya, we see that many of the Acharya's positions have been revealed, actually. Now, we know that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is, I think it's Kamala Manjari, is it, or Naina Manjari? and Chirabhaktivinoda Thakur, I now forgot them mixed up, Kamalamanjari and Chirabhaktivinoda Saraswati's Nayana Manjari. And we, you know, if you look back through the disciplic succession, we have so many incredible personalities. But Srila Prabhupada's position has not been revealed, actually. And that is because, actually, if it would blow our minds, actually, if Srila Prabhupada's position was actually revealed. So this is another way of looking at what an incredible personality Srila Prabhupada was, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reserved that glory for Srila Prabhupada, actually. His Senapati Bhakta, his chief general of the army. So that's another way of looking at the glory of what Srila Prabhupada has done, actually. When so many of Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati's disciples heard that from their spiritual master, but either felt it couldn't be done or it was just a poetic device, but Srila Prabhupada took it literally, actually. Took it literally. Yeah, just one little thing there, maybe.
Sometimes devotees, Prabhupada appears in their dreams, right? So Malati, who was like such a close disciple of Srila Prabhupada, had this dream where Srila Prabhupada, where these celestial beings came, and they introduced themselves as the Yamadutas. She said, but the Yamadutas don't look like you. The Yamadutas, they look very, very ugly, and so on. And then the Yamadutas said, no, only the sinful people see us like that. Right? Said, but the devotees, they don't see us like that. They don't see us in this form. And then the Yamadutas said, they said, you know, you don't know who Prabhupada is. You don't know. The Yamadutas said, the whole universe is talking about Prabhupada. Everybody is worshipping Prabhupada. You don't know who Prabhupada is. Right? A dream, but then a dream of one of Prabhupada's intimate disciples. Right? Such a dream is not ordinary. Not an ordinary person who's dreaming. Not an ordinary message. I also had a dream once while Medivi Prabhu was bringing up the point that we had leaders who had a lot of heavy weight, and sometimes the heavy weight was directed inwards to the devotees rather than outwards to the preaching. And that's true. That was going on. When Srila Prabhupada left the planet, it was a big change because, you could say that a generation was missing, you know, like from a person in his 80s, the leadership suddenly went to those who were just approaching 30, right, or around 30, you know, so it was like a huge gap in a way, a huge gap. So it wasn't always easy. The leadership was sincere, but sometimes lacking human touch. Yeah. And this heaviness and this weight directed inside. So in that environment, I had this dream, and suddenly I dreamt that Prabhupada was huge. Enormous form of Prabhupada, his head was touching the clouds. And he walked very aristocratic, as Prabhupada used to, his head, his chin a little raised, and as he would walk with his cane. Then in the front of his cloth, he had a pocket. And in the pocket, all the big leaders of ISKCON were there, you know, Ramakrishna, Hari Kesh, Bhagavan, like they were all there. And looking over the edge of the pocket, and they were talking, oh, we got to go this way, we got to go that way. And Prabhupada was just walking on sometimes, benevolently looking down. And, yeah. Clouds, even there was even thunder clouds, but they had no effect. And Prabhupada was just completely unaffected and walking on. Yeah. And for me, at that time, that was a very important dream. I mean, this is like, you know, I don't know, 82 or something like that, right? So it's a revolutionary dream in 82, you know. You could, but it put everything in perspective. I understood, you know, like, we all depend on Srila Prabhupada. And, yeah, that's very important. He was the acharya who shaped our mission. He set the standards. He set 16 rounds, minimum 16 rounds. We can't change that. Yeah. We may offer initiation, right? But I mean, I can't say, well, 15 will do. Yeah. Sorry about that. No, it's just, he set the standards, right? Mangalarti is Mangalarti. You can't just say, well, you know, we're going to have Mangalarti at 7 o'clock. It would lose its power. Wherever the standards that Prabhupada established are the source of our strength. And we see that those leaders in our movement who are loyal followers and who are dedicated to upholding Prabhupada's standards, they are the ones that, like Medhi Vipabhu mentioned, they become empowered. They carry the power. I was in that Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, and I saw all these sannyasis coming, right? So so many leaders of the whole society, they were all coming to Vrindavan, and I was looking at them and think, like, why is it, what is it that all these sannyasis have some special shakti, something? What? How do they get it? It intrigued me that seeing them gave me a desire to become a sannyasi, actually. Right? Watching them, it looked like, you know, what is their secret? What is the secret of the sannyasis, I thought. And I thought, I developed a desire to also become a sannyasi. And as I was seeing that, I was seeing it's the real strength is about the commitment to take whatever Srila Prabhupada said very serious. Yeah? That is the key. It's not only the sannyasis who have the potency. The ashram is secondary. But those who take up the whatever Prabhupada said and take it as important, they are the ones who become empowered. They are the ones who somehow or other get the power from Krishna. And that's what we see. And I realized that, I saw that, and it reminded me of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, there were different devotees. First, Nityananda and Kashiswar, right? Who was also a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, they made a circle around Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to protect him, right, from the crowd. And then around that, the other devotees, they made a circle around that circle. And around that circle, a third circle was made by Maharaj Prataparuda and his men. So there were different circles. And I was thinking, yes, there are also different circles around Srila Prabhupada, right? And I always felt like there are some devotees who are in the inner circle, right? They are the devotees who were in the inner circle, and somehow or other, it doesn't matter, like when they joined, or it matters how serious they became about Prabhupada's instructions. And of course, those who joined early, those who got a lot of personal association, got a treasure house of wealth. Okay? But anyone who completely dedicates himself to Srila Prabhupada can enter into that inner circle. And there, in the association of those Vaishnavas, whatever Prabhupada said is taken completely serious. It's not in question. Oh, that. And everyone is trying to understand. Just like in those early days, you know, if someone would get a letter from Srila Prabhupada, right, it used to come in those blue folding aerograms that Prabhupada used to use. And he would send one of those letters, and as soon as someone saw an aerogram in the mailbox, right, okay, and everybody looked, what name is on it? All right, this devotee got his letter and barely got time to read it in private. Everyone was sort of looking already, like, with him, what is Prabhupada saying, you know? And I mean, after finishing the letter, it was no longer a private letter. It was a letter of Prabhupada. It was everybody's property, right? It was just Prabhupada's letter, you know, belongs to the universe, belongs to all of us. And that spirit of eagerness to get instruction from Prabhupada was very prevalent at that time, because Prabhupada generated that by his personal presence. And he just, you know, just by his inconceivable transcendental majesty, right? By being such a powerful, regal, spiritual personality, Prabhupada invoked in everyone this sense of dedication and adoration, and everyone was just focused on Prabhupada in that way. And it still exists. It still exists. It exists in this movement. On all levels, in all circles, the dedication to Prabhupada exists. But in that inner circle, the dedication is more intense and more serious. But of course, you know, those who did get a lot of personal association, and I had in Vrindavan, there was a time when Tamal Krishna Maharaj was he was older then, you know, and he was staying in an ashram near to the temple in Vrindavan, and he wasn't coming so much to the temple. So I wrote him a letter one day, right, asking Maharaj, please come to the temple if you so desire to inspire the devotees. I said, because who will inspire the devotees? I said, all right, in your absence, we are trying to do it. Because we try to give some nectar to the devotees, but all we have is a small pot, you know, a small iron pot. Whereas, Maharaj, you have been given a beautiful golden vessel by Srila Prabhupada, by all those moments of association and personal instruction. And you have received so much wealth, you can give out so much nectar. And the pot is studded with many, many moments of personal association. And therefore, this opulence of having that personal association, etc., with that Maharaj, you can give even more nectar. Of course, we'll try. We who have met Srila Prabhupada also, right, he has completely changed our life, and yes, his instruction, his desires become everyone. So we also run
we will also bring the nectar, but we have a small pot, so we have to run very fast up and down to give to the crowd. But, when Brahmananda speaks, oh, it's just streams of nectar coming out of his mouth. I mean, we were all like, you know, I mean, this year, everyone was just like little children, you know, sitting there listening to Brahmananda, right? Because the nectar is just streaming out of his mouth. So yes, lobha matra sadhu sangha, just a moment of association with the great Vaishnava is so valuable. Every place with Srila Prabhupada is so valuable. It's like we went last year to New York, and you know, there we stayed in this temple which is just one street away from Matchless Gift and Tompkins Square Park. So my servant, he was day and night in one of the two places, even more than me, and very inspired. And I went to Tompkins Square Park, and there is the tree, and there's a sign on it, on the tree. It says Hare Krishna Tree. The city council put a sign on the tree, and then there's a board at the site which explains this tree is where A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, started his public chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and then from here the movement spread all over the world. So it's very nice that all that's there. And it stood under that tree. And just, I sort of said a little prayer to the tree, and I turn around and one boy walks up to me and says, "What do I have to do to become a monk like you?" And I go, Prabhupada transformed this tree into a transcendental desire tree. Yeah? I mean, it's just amazing. The tree became a desire tree. And it's like, boys just walk under the tree and say, "What do I have to do to become a monk like you?" So, you know, so Chanara Krishna was the first thing, obviously. And then, you know, yeah, amazing. Amazing how Prabhupada transformed people, transformed places, and just, yeah, is present, just brought about so much potency. Everything is just filled with potency. And all we have to do is take it serious. That's the one little thing. Whew, how to take it seriously.